Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the gospel for this weekend, we have Jesus coming closer to his impending death. Today we read from Matthew's gospel, chapter 21, verse 33. Now we have to appreciate the context in which this story is set in. The very beginning of chapter 21, Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He now knows his death is only weeks or days away. Therefore, his teaching is very unambiguous. It's more direct and to the point. It has to be. Jesus has only a little bit more time left with his apostles. He must make absolutely sure that they understand his message and teaching. Now notice how the story begins. It says, Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people. This parable is addressed to the chief priests and the Pharisees. Jesus intends this parable for the Pharisees to hear as much as, or even more so, than the apostles to hear. Notice how the parable begins. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. Now stop right there. In that one line represents the whole of biblical theology. The landowner is God. God is the creator. God is the creator of all things, and therefore all things belong to God. It continues, he planted a vineyard. That's rich in symbolism. The vineyard is a beautiful place. It's abundant. That is what God intends for all of creation, for all of us. God wants the earth to be a beautiful place. More to it, God wants to create out of a desire to share his life with us. God wants the world to be a life-giving place. The story continues. He put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Now, all three of these things are great symbols. The hedge. The hedge, basically now, the vineyard has a clearly defined place. Everything in all of creation is clearly defined, made by God. Look at the story of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. That was God's garden. How about the tower? He built a tower. Well, when you climb a tower, you're able to see long distances. God sees all things in this world. He's concerned with all things. The wine press. Well, this is necessary. For a vineyard is a place where you cultivate grapes. You crush those grapes, the juice is then fermented, and wine is produced. Now, wine has a very strong symbol in sacred scripture. It lifts the spirit. Jesus takes wine at the time of the Last Supper, and he consecrates it into his own blood. Only Christ's blood can lift our spirits. But notice, the hedge, the tower, and the wine press, they're all necessary in order to make the vineyard productive and bear fruit for the harvest. All are expressive of what God intends for his creation. All are given for the express purpose to give life to the vineyard. So too with us. God gives us so many gifts. First, the gift of our life, the gift of family and friends, the gift of our careers, our health, our homes, all given so that we may have life and life in abundance, so that we may be successful in being faithful servants to Jesus Christ. I often give you that very famous quote from St. Irenaeus, God is glorified when the human being is fully alive. Well, see, that's exactly what God wants, and therefore he gives us so many gifts in our life so that we may be fully alive. Next in the story, it says, he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. Now, this was a common practice in the ancient world, as well as in our day. Landowners leasing land so that others may plant and work the land for the harvest. We would refer to it as sharecroppers. These tenants would sit down with the landowner and negotiate a percentage of the crops that were produced. The symbolism here, the vineyard is owned by the landowner, in this case, God. God owns all of creation. The tenants are us. We are the tenants. God is the creator of all things and now is willing to lease out all of creation to us. Why? Because God wants us to participate in his life. So he leases all of creation to us. We are the tenants, not the owners. God is the owner of all of creation. But what's the potential of going wrong when we forget this reality? When we say to ourselves, you know, everything that I have is mine. My reputation, my power, my wealth, it's all mine for me to do with, to serve me, to benefit my purposes. What's the problem with Adam and Eve? They grasp at the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that act of grasping at that fruit, they saw everything as their own and not God. Now the story, it continues. It says, the landowner went on a journey. Well, the landowner doesn't stay to micromanage the tenants. He doesn't look over their shoulder and says, you know, I think that vine needs pruning. And I think that other vine needs a little bit more water. No, he trusts the tenants that they will care for the vineyard. Well, God does the same thing with us. He doesn't micromanage our lives. He isn't constantly looking over our shoulder. He trusts that we will be good stewards of the many gifts we've been given. Paul refers to these gifts in 1 Corinthians as charisms, divinely given gifts by God to us to be used for the express purpose of building up the church, to help others in this world. And see, that's what we must do. The story continues. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. God wants what we produce as tenants in God's creation. He wants our skills, our abilities, our time, our talent, and our treasure. He wants us to use those things for God's purposes. See, that's what good stewardship is all about. Recognizing that everything that God has given us is a gift. Not for our purpose, but for the purpose of serving others. Notice, he sends these servants, and he keeps sending servant after servant. The symbolism here is of the prophets. When does God send prophets to the Israelites? When the Israelites forget their identity as tenants. When they forgot that all of creation is God's and not their own. When they forget how to practice good stewardship. Then God sends prophet after prophet after prophet. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Amos, Elijah, Elisha. Notice what these tenants do to these servants. It says the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Well, such was the fate of some of the prophets. They were not always treated well. Isaiah was literally cut in half. Jeremiah was thrown down a well and killed. All the apostles except John were martyred. Notice further the landowner's persistence and patience. He keeps sending one after another after another. It says, but he continued to send more servants, more numerous than the first ones, and they treated them all the same way. It's interesting, the landowner's persistence and patience. He doesn't send an army in full force. Not demanding, no. He keeps on sending prophet or servant after another. He wants the produce. Next in the story, it says, he said to himself, they will respect my son. And so he sent his son. Well, that's a great reference to Jesus Christ. Finally, out of desperation, he sends his son. You know, the reference here, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that those who would believe in him might be saved. God sends prophet after prophet, and they're all rejected. Now God sends his only son. Jesus is sent, and Jesus reminds us all that we are tenants. that all of creation belongs to God. See, we find life, and we find life in abundance by the very measure in which we acknowledge that truth. But notice what happens next. It said, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance." Now, it's interesting to know, in the ancient world, if there were no heirs to land, then the tenants themselves had a right to claim that land. And so notice what happens next. It says, they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. You know, what did they do to Jesus? They seized him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They led him outside of Jerusalem. They crucified him on Golgotha, crucified him at the very entrance gates of the city of Jerusalem. Again, a direct reference to Jesus Christ and his death. And so it begs the question, what is it? What is it about this produce that God wants from us that he's willing to keep sending prophet after prophet? And why is it so important that he's ready to sacrifice his only son? First, let's distinguish what the produce is not. God does not want from us our homes, our portfolios, our wealth, our property. God is the creator of all things. He already has those things. The produce that God is so persistent in wanting to obtain from us is our faith, our love, and our relationship with him. See, that's all that God ever wants from us. That's the only thing that God ever wants in this entire world. God values our faith, our relationship with him, our love, more than anything in the world. That's why he's so persistent. We have a God that will stop at nothing to love us, to seek our love. He'll stop at nothing, even death on the cross. There's no length to which God will go for us. So what do we do? What's our response? Give God the greatest and the best gift you could possibly give him. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your will, your intellect. Give your heart, your mind, and your soul in prayer to God, in the sacraments, in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. See, when we do that, then yes, we will flourish. We will bear fruit. We will bear fruit just like this vineyard. We will be successful, and we will be able to give God the produce that he wants. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.